As we go on, I'm going to talk, we're going to split this last presentation on the financial support scheme and again get into some of the other financial issues, particularly the burdens faced by TEPCO. Again, it would just to sort of repeat, and I'm sure I won't test you on the diagram at the end of the program, but in a sense, this in a way illustrates what we've been talking about. In a way, you can ignore the stuff to the right of the wavy black line on the right-hand side, because remember I talked about this grave natural disaster of an exceptional character, and at this point, we're not putting the scheme is not being put into, or that provision, that exoneration has not been invoked. And if that were the case, though, essentially it would be the compensation scheme would be all through the government messengers. But this at least illustrates for you, in some respects, an interplay between the operator's liability and other indemnity or other support that the government may have, at least in the Japanese scheme. For claims handling, again, TEPCO is responsible for the claims handling, and there's a reference there to their website. Again, we have a committee I love this translation, for the smooth payment of compensation for nuclear damage. You know, if only it were that smooth, but in any event, this is the government committee that's been set up at the end of December with representatives from various important ministries, again, to share information, resolve issues regarding the payment of compensation. And again, I think you have to admire the Japanese government for what they've done in terms of keeping a focus in this area. Again, if we look at what's been paid to date, as of March 23rd to this year, 142 billion yen had been paid to certain evacuees, these various, in the industry, fishing, agricultural, forestry industries. Other main compensation payments under Reconciliation Committee's guidelines have another 349 billion had been paid. And again, what you're seeing here is about 491 billion yen. I was about to say dollar. 491 billion yen have been paid by TEPCO in compensation. This is the interesting thing I think about this chart. This shows you, in effect, how this compensation has been piling up. Because again, if you look at the top, what you're seeing some points in time. It's almost like a time chart here. Some points of time where the government's issuing various guidelines that will address the compensation scheme. And then as types of victims or types of damages have been compensated, so you sort of start at the bottom and it, as I said, this mountain, this figurative mountain on the chart starts to pile up. Again, from people affected by evacuation to the impact on certain industries, other types of compensation to business operators, whatever. And I think it's a powerful illustration of what you're seeing in terms of the compensation scheme or the demands on the compensation scheme here. Again, what has this meant? TEPCO posted a larger than expected loss. And I think here it is in dollars, $9.67 billion, the equivalent of $9.67 billion. And this is just within the last week, or I guess the beginning of this week, it noted that. And again, it's, as you might expect, it was having to deal with the costs related to the accident at the Daiichi site. It also, in terms of compensating with replacement fuel costs, and again, it's also the burden of the compensation scheme that they're expected to have to deal with. Now, again, under the Japanese Compensation Act, where nuclear damage occurs in excess of the financial security amount, the government must give the operator such aid as is required to compensate the damage and as approved by the National Diet, by the National Assembly. That's from Article 16, and that's not an unusual provision, again, in the terms of nuclear liability law. You can discuss in terms of, market forces and market values, but here, even though one might argue that a company should bear the full brunt and the full responsibility for actions or damages for which it is considered liable. The other types of forces or the other types of considerations that come into play are wanting to compensate victims and assure that they receive sufficient compensation. And if a pure liquidation or bankruptcy situation, which we know has occurred, I can think of many tort instances in my own country, in the United States, where sort of reorganizations or bankruptcies have been used as a way to try to avoid liability, and probably in some of your countries as well, that may or may not be permitted in certain circumstances due to statutes. But again, if you're in that situation where a liquidation or a bankruptcy would occur, that means victims aren't going to get compensation. And the question, too, is even with a question of what happens to the company, if the company is still an operator, what happens then? You're still relying on the company, if it operates other facilities, to provide a reliable supply of electricity. So those are some of the issues that come to the fore when you're talking about government financial support and the policy reasons that argue for or against it. And I think, Amina, you're going to pick up from here. Again, she knows the details on these billions of yen and where they're going.
Thank you, Steve. So to pick up from here, just before, as a reminder, so we're talking about the governmental financial support to TEPCO. In the previous presentations, what you have to have already in mind is that the government had already to pay 120 billion yen because of the indemnity guarantee that was provided to TEPCO, because the event, in fact, was not insured by the private market. So government had already, at the beginning, provided for that. Then there was what we call the first phase, which is the state provisional payments. Because TEPCO also had to deal with so many things at the same time, and that compensation just couldn't be paid quickly enough sometimes, the government paid some compensations directly to victims. So it benefited mainly tourism-related small and medium enterprises in four prefectures. So it was really in a certain area. And it was for damages due to rumor, as we just saw. So they have paid already 1.7 billion for 50 cases. But this amount, in fact, will have to be paid back to the government by TEPCO. The second phase, which has been an extremely important action by the government, has been the setting up of the Nuclear Damage Compensation Facilitation Corporation. This corporation has not been set up only for the TEPCO Fukushima accident. It's going to be there, and it's going to function from now on. And its role is going to be, in fact, to gather money in order to help Japanese operators to pay compensations whenever it is necessary in the future. So it's not only for this accident, it's also for the future, hopefully there will be none as important, but it has been set up as a definitive corporation. This company is in fact owned 50-50 by the state and by private investors. Most of them are in fact nuclear operators. But they didn't have, the operators were not compelled to to participate to the establishment of this company. So it was voluntarily participation. So what is an obligation for the operations, for the operator, sorry, is to contribute to this corporation. In fact, it's going to work like a fund or like an operator's pool in this aspect. You have what is called operator's pool in the United States and in Germany. They're the two countries where, in fact, operators put together money that's going to be there as a reserve and that can be used in order to pay compensation. So this is not, this corporation is not exactly, it doesn't work like the other ones. It's not really an operator's pool because it has this aspect here, but as we're going to see afterwards, it has another kind of support, financial support that can be provided to TEPCO. But let's say on the operator's pool perspective, so all the operators will put in money. And their contribution is going to be calculated based on fixed criteria, for example, the generation of electricity. Those contributions are going to be kept by the company, like in a fund, as reserves. And then if the operator needs this money, and it means that it has to prove, I mean, it's not just the operator coming and saying, can you please lend me, I don't know how many billions. I mean, he has to prove that he doesn't have the financial capacity to pay the compensation. So there has to be a business plan. He's going to have hard proof. So when he needs to have additional money to pay the compensation of the victims, then the corporation can issue the funds directly from the reserves. He can also buy into the shareholding of the operator or loan funds. So once the operator received this financial aid, it is not obliged, in fact, to pay back. And then there's the second aspect of the financial assistance of this corporation, is the governmental special financial assistance. So this will work when the reserves are not there. I mean, when you have given away all the reserves that the corporation had, then the operator and the corporation have together to do a special business plan to be submitted to the government. Once it is approved, then the government will issue bonds. And the corporation will be entitled, in fact, to redeem them and to get the money to give it to the operator. But this money will have to be reimbursed. So in fact, how it works is that the corporation, once it gets back again the contributions from the operators little by little, so they will have enough reserves, it will pay back to the government. And the operator will have to pay back this money to the corporation. And how does it do that? By a special contribution. So in addition to the contribution it is obliged to pay, it will have to pay a special contribution, and it has fully paid back the corporation. So this is a little scheme that gives you an idea of things, how it works with a corporation on one side. You have TEPCO, and so TEPCO giving the contribution, which can be the general one, let's say the basic one, or the special, if it had to ask for the special financial assistance of the government. And then you have the government there that is granting government bonds. So I see here you have a lot of, and just a picture of how it works. So how much has it been paid until now? In October 2011, the corporation TEPCO submitted a special business plan to the government. Following that, in November, there was a first payment of 890 billion yen to TEPCO. And then, because as we saw, I mean, the amount of compensation to be paid just increased month by month, TEPCO applied again. And in December, there was another grant of 690 billion yen this time. So here gives you a little bit of a timeline of how much has been paid. So it was expected because this scheme was done, in fact, in March, so 2012. So here you see, in 2012 spring, comprehensive special business plan will be drawn up to see where TEPCO was standing, financially speaking, whether it needed more money, where it was fine, how things were going. But as you might have read in the news, TEPCO is not doing really great. And it has not finished paying compensations and other costs. So in fact, on the 9th of May, so this is very, very recently, the government approved a 1 trillion bailout. And it will take part of the shareholding of TEPCO that is going to be then nationalized. It is said it's going to be a temporary nationalization. We'll see in the future. And this new shareholding will be, in fact, approved, should be approved in June 2012. So in fact, you have the nuclear liability systems that tells you that the operator is the only person liable to pay compensation to the victims, and its liability is unlimited. But as we're saying, I mean, it's just a company, so unlimited has its limitations. And finally, the government has to back it up. And it's true that it's in the interest of, we're talking about insurrection, one of the exclusion. I mean, victims have to be compensated. It's important. The economy has to be relaunched. And the operator itself cannot just stop. I mean, a nuclear power plant, you just don't just close it and pull off the key and say, okay, it's finished. I mean, it's not so simple. So the government has to back it up. So this, in fact, has been the way to address it by the Japanese government. And it's true that, as Steve was saying, the Japanese government has been extremely reactive in order to address the situation in a very practical manner. And month by month, as you could see, solutions were drawn up in order to face it. Yeah. So that'll be it for this financial part.
We'd be happy to take questions as we are able. And as I say, a lot of this work we're basing off of sort of discussions we've had with our Japanese colleagues, and who've been very, as I say, helpful to us in doing this. So we welcome your questions. We'll try to answer as best we can.